Welcome to Live Well Anyway. I'm your host, Mackenzie Coppa. On this podcast, we journey together in learning how to feel healthy, look good, and plan lives we actually like in the midst of all the everyday chaos. I'm so glad you're here. This is actually our final episode of season 9. Can you guys believe it? Because I sure can't. We will be back next week with a fun kickoff episode to season 10 with my good friend Katie Duckett. And I also happen to have Katie on the show today. As many of you know, Katie went to Ireland earlier this summer. We did a whole episode all about her packing for that trip. The link to that episode is in the show notes for this episode, so you can find it really easily if you haven't listened to it yet. But today I wanted the follow-up. What happened with the trip? How did the packing turn out? What were her favorite parts? It's a really fun episode as we dive into everything that she did. She takes us through her whole trip to Ireland, the castle she stayed in and everything. It was amazing to talk to her, and I think you're really going to like this episode. But before we get there, I want to give a quick plug for next week's Holistic Planning Bootcamp. Ladies, this is the thing to come to if you just want to get a really good grip on your life going into this fall. So we are going to fully dive into not just the productivity stuff, because I have realized that so many other parts of our life impact all the other parts of our life. So we can't be productive if we're not taking care of our health or our mental well-being or our emotions or relationships. All of those things are completely intertwined. So, in next week's bootcamp that starts on September 3rd, we are going to go through all of that. We're going to talk about the mental, emotional, spiritual health stuff. We're going to plan for meals and all those logistics and home things and schedules as well, but it's all going to mesh together to give a holistic picture of our lives so that we're taking care of ourselves well, taking care of our people well, but also able to juggle all of the things in appropriate measure. There are going to be daily videos, there's a Facebook group, a PDF workbook, a Trello template for those who prefer to do things digitally. It's very simple and straightforward, but I think it's going to be a really effective time. There are going to be replays on all of the videos for those who can't make it live, and you'll still be able to interact with everyone in the Facebook group. I think it's going to be a really great time, and I can't wait to do it with all of you. So I kept this really affordable. You can get into this bootcamp for just $27 for 5 days of learning. It starts on September 3rd. It will actually end on Monday, September 9th. So you'll have that weekend to make sure you're pulling together all of the pieces and wrapping it all up on that Monday. I think it's going to be a really good time, and I would love for you to join us. So head over to mackenziecoppa.com/planningbootcamp. You can see more about what is included in the course there. It's going to be so good. So head over there, sign up today. Again, you can go to mackenziecoppa.com/planningbootcamp. I will also have the links in today's show notes so you can get to it all kinds of ways. It's in my Instagram link in bio. It is all over the place for you to be able to join us in this really good and effective time. I really hope to see you there because I think it's going to be a great way to kick off for fall. But while you're hopping over to that website and getting signed up, let's go ahead and have a listen to all the things about Katie's amazing trip to Ireland. Welcome back, Katie.
Thank you. Hello.
You have had an eventful summer.
I really have. I feel like July was a blink.
Yeah.
Now it's like mid-August.
Yeah, I know. You haven't come on the podcast. We were talking about it. We haven't done this since June. Mm-hmm. And you've probably had like the most life-changing and like eventful summer of your life.
I think that is fair. That is not an exaggeration. I think that's absolutely fair.
And that's saying a lot because you moved across the country last year.
So, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, that's and sent true. A kid to college.
It's so true. Yeah. But this was on a different level. This was like, you know, once in a lifetime kind of stuff. So
yeah,
absolutely.
So when we left off with you, we did our whole episode about you packing for Ireland and all the amazing stuff that you did to like curate that experience and pack for it. I will put the link in the show notes for anyone who wants to go back and listen to that episode. It sounds like, why would I want to listen to someone talk about packing? It's so fun. Like you just get to live vicariously through Katie and all the packing and all the like, it's next level packing. Seriously.
Well, and it was, So some of it, you know, in the hustle and bustle, you forget some of it, but then I'd unpack things and I was like, oh,
I
thank
did
you,
this for
Katie.
myself. Yeah.
Yeah, it was just little treats and gifts. So, you know, when like you go on a trip with your kids, you have little kids and you have to think through, let's say it's a road trip, you have to think through snacks. You have to
Yeah.
think through, okay, by day two or on the return trip, we're going to be like, we need something. I'm going to pack like little surprises that I'll just pull out on that day. You know how you kind of get in that? Well, I sort of did that for myself and I forgot. And then I would pull things out and be like, I needed this. Today's is perfect. So
Oh.
it was that I highly recommend if you're going to put that kind of energy in to the people that you're traveling with, don't forget yourself because it really was special to just pull little things
Yeah.
out and feel delighted. And I felt like just because that intention had been taken and then I could forget about it, and I did, that it hit me at the right time. It just made it really magical. It just
Yeah.
felt magical. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. I love that you just had the full experience. And, you know, we've heard it so many times on the podcast how you will curate your house for all the different seasons with the scents and the sights and the twinkle lights and like all of that stuff. But to hear you have it even on the road and like make what was obviously already going to be an incredible experience, like even more than what it was. Like you had all these little touches in there that made it so special. And I was cracking up because, you know, you coordinated everything with the colors and everything. And you sent me a video of your family like a week ago and they were playing disc golf. And Scott like kicks off these green slides. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's the Ireland shoes. And it was just so funny
That's
to me.
exactly right. Yes, it was. Yeah, I mean, so that's kind of a fun part too, because all of that lives on. Now, like,
Yeah.
you know, we went out this last weekend for a birthday party, Saturday night, like with some friends, and both of us were like, oh, like we have a wardrobe to draw from. Like we have going out.
Yeah.
So usually you're like, oh, what am I gonna wear? This time we're like, oh no. Oh no, I
We're
have things.
covered.
We're covered. And that was such a treat. It was such a
Yeah.
treat. So, I am grateful for that too, that even though the trip was like 11 days, all of that planning and everything that went into it lives on in your daily regular life. You know, you can draw from that well and it's available. So, and Scott and I don't get new clothes all the time or new shoes. He got a lot of new shoes
Yeah.
and that's gonna last for years and years and years and years.
I might
So,
debate that point about you. Maybe
well, that's
Scott
true.
doesn't buy new clothes
That's true.
very often,
That's
but
true. Yeah, I
I
certainly
seem
do.
to remember someone moving across the country and then just deciding to not unpack any of their clothes.
Okay, fair point. Fair point. But
Scott,
it has,
yeah.
but Scott, yes, for sure.
And
And
it's curated now.
yes, it is curated and we have some pieces that match, which at this stage in our lives is really fun. Like the green slides you're
Oh
referencing,
my
we
gosh.
match. We
Yeah.
both have them. Our tennis shoes, our waterproof On Clouds, they match. And
Oh
so
my
those are
gosh.
just fun. They're fun little moments to, you know, when we
I'm
want
just
to.
seeing visions of you two at your Florida house in matching track suits at some point, and it's just feels really fitting. I seem to recall also when we were younger and we were doing like we had this whole thing in this friend group we were in where we were calling each other out on things that we saw, not like in a bad way, in a fun way. Like somebody said like all the Disney princesses and somebody said like these words of light that represented all of us. And I described what everyone would be like as old ladies. And I was like, you're going to be like the country clubber, but now I'm feeling more like you're going to be the matching tracksuit couple.
I feel like, yeah, it
Yeah.
doesn't seem like a bad vision. Like, yeah, it was really fun to match Scott. Like, I hope he felt that way. He may not have, but I thought it was really fun. I loved to match my little boys when they were little. I just thought when you have a whole bunch of kids, same sex kids, like, why not match them? Like, it's kind of cute. And then the day that they were like, no, nope, I'm done with that, mom. I'm done. It's been sad. But now to have that come back a little bit, and I'm not talking about full on matching, but just pieces where, we belong together. I think that's kind of fun.
I just keep thinking about if I were to try to do this to Nick. I don't know if I can picture it. He'd be like, what? You want me
You
to
need
wear
to
what?
try it. You need to try it with something small and
Yeah, I
just
need to
see.
like get it, but not tell him that I have a matching pair. And
Right.
then
And
we
then just
like
do it.
show up somewhere and he's
Yeah.
like, it's like, have you seen all those people where like women will buy all their husbands the same shirt?
Yes.
That's, yeah, I would have to kind
I
of
think that's
ambush
so
him like
funny.
that. I know. I
Yeah.
think they're hilarious. I saw it at an 8th grade graduation where all the kids had gotten their dads to wear the same shirt. I thought it was
Oh
so
my
funny.
gosh.
Like
There's
150 people.
That's so funny. But there's something to it. Like, if you know ahead of time, you're gonna be like, no, I'm not into that. But in the moment, there is some, it's like a sense of belonging. It's there's something fun about it. Like, I don't know. But that's been a takeaway for sure, is that he really didn't mind as much as he probably thought that he would. And people kind of teased us, but I could tell they liked it too. Like, oh, why did mom do that? I
I
should have
love
matched.
it. Yeah, I think that you can also get away with it like at the ages that you're at now, and like you can
Yeah.
fully embrace like this is who we are. And it's like you sort of did that. You were able to reinvent yourselves by curating this
Yes.
whole wardrobe, doing this whole thing, and making deliberate decisions. Like, this is
Yeah.
what I want to be, what I want to look like, what I want to do. This is the thing. And I love
This
that.
is it. I mean, our kids are already making fun of us all the time. So, I mean, why not just embrace it? Give them a little something that they can actually make fun of you with that you don't mind instead of the things that you don't realize are like joke worthy.
I love it. That's so
Just
good.
taking
Okay.
ownership. Yeah.
One of the clothing pieces. Now, I have asked you about it. It was killing me. I had to ask you about it numerous times before you finally were like, oh, yeah. But you talked all about this raincoat that was incredible that you had hunted down on the internet, and it had a special secret pattern that you wouldn't take a hose to just find out what it was. No, you had to wait for the Irish rain to hit your sleeves and come home and tell me what it was. So, will you share with everyone what the pattern ended up being?
Yes, of course I will. So, short story long, I had two raincoats, and inevitably I was wearing the wrong one when you got like a deluge. And you cannot predict. Ireland's so funny that way. They say, it rains all the time. Your association is that it rains all the time. But it really doesn't. It's like mid-60s and comfortable, but it always feels like it could rain. And then indeed, like once in a while, it does. But it's not like predictable where you see a storm, it just hits you all at once. It's raining. So it was very hard to plan. It just wasn't something you could just predict. So I just seemed to have the other raincoat on whenever it was like a heavy rain. Until we were leaving Dublin. So I'm running to the taxi that's going to take us to the train station. Wasn't even thinking about, okay, I'm wearing the right raincoat and it's raining. I'm just trying to get out of the rain and get in the taxi cab. And I was in the taxi cab with my sister and my sister-in-law. I sat down and they both gasped. They were like, oh, your raincoat. And so it was like the star emoji where there's those three little stars in that kind of pattern all over. So it was like sparkly in its own way. It was just like a lighter green, but all over was that star emoji, those little twinkly lights all over my raincoat.
Twinkly lights,
Twinkly
which is an emoji that you frequent.
I think it's my most used. Everything needs sparkle. So
Oh, I just, it's so fun. And it's so not what we were thinking it was going to be. You thought it was going to be like shamrocks or something because it was called Lucky Charm, was the name of the raincoat. I was thinking it was going to be like something paisley or something like that. So to have it be like something totally other and unexpected is so fun.
It was, and it felt so personal. It felt like, oh my gosh, of course it's twinkly
Yeah.
lights all over my raincoat. Like, of course it is. So that was really a sweet moment. Like, I kind of put my hand on my heart. I was just like,
Yeah.
oh, of all things. And both of them got it too. They're like, that is so cool. Of all the things it could have been, it's
Yeah.
twinkly lights. So that was amazing. I do not have a picture. I do
I know.
not, because
So
yeah,
annoyed.
I know. I'm really sorry about that, but now that I broke that threshold and it rained in Ireland and revealed itself, now when it rains, which it does a lot here, I will
Okay.
get a picture for you.
All right. I would really appreciate one. I've
I
waited a long time, and I'll
know.
keep waiting
I know.
until I get the picture. Okay. Now that we've covered a lot of the stuff, I would
Yes.
love for you to just like go back through your itinerary. Take us from when you got there, what you were doing, the experience of it all.
Okay. Well, we got into Dublin. That's where we started, and we spent 3 days there, and then we traveled around. So we spent the most time in Dublin. That was the most concentrated time. And Dublin is, I mean, it has several colleges, so it's got like a young, hip vibe. It has a downtown area that is, I mean, there are people out 24/7, late night. And these people, it's interesting, the culture, their work starts late because their nights are late.
Oh,
So
interesting.
if you walk around between 8 to 10 a.m., there's nobody. It's dead. It's like
Interesting.
the city is dead. So work starts at like 10 a.m. and that's just a weird cultural shift of like, whoa, like
That
nothing's open, no bakery.
alone is like enough to make me want to move to Ireland.
But their nights, I mean, their nights are exactly what you would think in terms of the Irish people are so friendly, and tourism is a huge part of their what their country needs to sustain itself. So they're so happy to see tourists. They're not like, oh, Americans, you know,
Yeah.
they're like, hi, Americans, come to this pub, come
Yeah.
to this boutique. You know, they're very happy to see us. And very welcoming. So every pub, as they call them, is like old. I mean, super, super old, and has a history is just dripping around Dublin.
Yeah.
It's crazy, but they have live music every night, 7 days a week, and that live music goes to like 2 in the morning, and
Wow.
they are just. You can go from pub to pub to pub to pub, everyone same live music, different bands. So the music industry there is huge. Like, people really hone their craft and make money playing in these different pubs, and they'll have like a weekly, like he's the Wednesday 8:30 to 9:30 shift, and like just part of their lifestyle. So it was just interesting to get a flavor of that. And they all sing, like they sing loudly, the people in the pub, they're happy, they're having drinks. It's just a very fun, lively culture. So
Yeah.
it was wonderful to be in Dublin. Our hotel was downtown Dublin, so everything was within walking distance. We walked like 20,000 steps a day. Like, we walked
That's
a
right.
lot. We walked all over the city. And we went from things like we went to the Guinness brewery. We would go from that to St. Patrick's Cathedral, like a holy shrine of a place. Like, it's just crazy. All the different Trinity College, the Jameson Distillery, just everything is there. Like, most of the really well-known touristy things are in Dublin. So we did
Yeah.
all of those. We toured everything. We tasted and sampled everything. The food was really good. I didn't anticipate the culinary aspect of Ireland to be what it was. I think of it more as like peasant food, heavy in
Yeah.
potato, you know, but it there is a curry influence that really surprised me. Every restaurant had curry. There were no Reubens. That's an Americanized Irish
Oh,
food.
interesting.
Irish stew is a staple, and then curry every menu. So that was a huge surprise.
So
But then the
that
food.
makes me question, hold. You guys are big into like your St. Patrick's Day stuff and all of that
Mm
because you're Irish. Does this influence now what you will be making instead of what you normally would make? Is that like the more Americanized thing and now you're going to do more of what they do, or will you just keep it kind of traditionally what it's always been?
Oh no, we will adjust. Because once you've done
Okay.
it and you know, then you feel silly. Like,
Yeah.
oh, they've never even heard of a Reuben.
Yeah.
That's awkward. It's like what we thought. Or corned beef and cabbage. They don't have cabbage. They can't grow cabbage. They don't have cabbage.
Interesting.
So it was really funny to learn some of those things and you feel very American. Like,
Yeah.
oh, okay. That's what we thought the Irish did. That's not what the Irish do.
Yeah. That's so funny. You're like,
But
wait,
shepherd's
you don't have leprechauns?
pie.
What?
Yeah. So, but the culinary stuff was fantastic. I ate so many flavors and things that I didn't anticipate that were delicious. Late at night, they have these like hot food, hot greasy fried food little places open up, and they had something called spice basket that you could order. And that is like chicken tenders battered and fried, and then potato wedges, and then like cut up and fried red peppers, onion, and then they serve all of that in like this basket. It's greasy, it's salty, and then the sauce is curry. It's a hot, spicy curry, and that's what everybody's walking around eating at about 1 in the morning. Like they're all eating the spice bag, and that was. I would never have expected that. That was a fun thing to learn and try. And I fell in love with this curry sauce. People who didn't like curry in our group loved it. So it's something
Interesting.
that, yeah, it's something that they're doing that is not your traditional curry, like what we would think of here. But that influence came in the 1800s. So it's locked into their culture. It's just not something I would have anticipated. But I've since we got home, I've made the spice bag here, and I had to pick up some spices in a little grocery store while I was there to do it. Like peri peri, never heard of it,
Yeah.
but it's prevalent there. I could find it. Aromat. There were some other spices and things I knew I wouldn't be able to get in the States, so I got it there so I could try it. And it was really fun to make. It was high maintenance. Probably won't do it all the time, but I wanted the kids to try it and see.
Yeah.
And they all really liked it. They were bold with the curry sauce and were surprised how much they liked it. So anyway, that was a total surprise. The food was
Yeah.
not the fish and chips, that's huge. And then the fish, the piece of fish is bigger than the plate. One piece of fish.
Oh, wow.
Always. So it's just like, whoa. And it's called hake, which is a cod, but that's the fish that they usually serve, and it's delicious. It's white and flaky and really good, but it's like literally a long fillet, and that's your
Wow.
fish. Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean,
That would be like all huge.
it was a departure, but it was really fun to just like do it their way. And by the end of the trip, you're used to it. You know, you
Yeah.
sort of expect what it's going to be. Mushy peas are the side to everything, and
Ugh.
you either like them or you don't.
Yeah. That would
But
have been a
they're,
hard pass for me.
yeah. I really liked them. They needed a little
Oh.
salt, but I really liked them. It's like split pea soup. It tasted like those peas to me, those little green split peas. But
Interesting.
anyway, the food was fun. So that was Dublin. We really lived Dublin hard. We toured a lot, we walked a lot, we were out late. And then you have like the slower morning. Their breakfasts are fun. It's really an English breakfast, but they call it an Irish breakfast. So it has beans and the black pudding and the white pudding and a tomato with your hash brown and your eggs, whatever way you want, and then your Irish sausage. And the Irish sausage, I'll just really miss it. You cannot get it here. And it's like more finely ground than our sausage. You can cut it with fork. It's kind of like cutting through butter. It's not like you have to saw with
Yeah.
your knife. It's just soft, and it is delicious. It's delicious. And we ordered one from New York that it's probably the closest here, and it is close, but it is not the same. So I think to go back to Ireland for the dairy and the sausage, because the Irish dairy, Those are just such happy cows. You watch them and you're like, yeah, that's why your dairy's so good. All you eat is green grass and look at your view. This is
Yeah.
the life of a cow. It's the cow epitome. It's so
Now,
special.
what kinds of dairy did you partake in to be like, oh, this is so different?
I had straight up milk, which I don't usually drink milk, but we had some people in our party that had cereal in the morning. And like when we stayed at a couple Airbnbs, we would have milk and then we have to finish the milk. And the milk was like, I would drink it here. I
Interesting.
liked it. It tasted so good. And then the butter, I mean,
Yeah.
the butter. My brother-in-law brought back butter, brought it back in his carry-on. It was a whole thing, but he found a way to get that butter back, which I don't even think you legally through customs can do
No.
it, right? I mean, but he found a way. And
That's so funny.
he was determined to get butter back because it is, I don't even know how, if you've had Kerrygold butter or Irish butter before, that's close. Like, you know, it's better butter, but like there, it's even Kerrygold would be like the lesser quality of what you're tasting. Like, it's amazing. And you
Wow.
might just have bread so you could have the butter. It's just a vehicle to get that butter. It's so
Wow.
good. Yeah.
Oh, sounds incredible. My mom would be in heaven. She'll just eat butter straight. It would be like the best thing ever.
It's so good, and it's like salted. It's salted in the finishing process, so it's not salty, but it has depth. It's so good. I can't say
That
enough.
sounds
It's amazing.
amazing.
Yeah, it really, the dairy special.
Yeah. Okay, so from Dublin then.
Yeah, so from Dublin we took a train down to County Cork, and in County Cork you're on the coastline. And we were in Cobh, which is the little port city. It's the final port the Titanic was at before it took off
Oh,
and sunk.
interesting.
So that was kind of cool to go through that little museum and see. And I mean, everywhere you turned there was just so much history. Just one of
Yeah.
the pubs that we went into has been around since the 1100s. Like,
Yeah.
what?
I
How?
know. I remember thinking that when I went to Russia when I was like 18, 19. I literally turned 19 in Russia. And it was like, oh, it's weird to be in a place that has, especially when you're from the West Coast of America, because
Right.
everything is like 1895 and on, you
Yeah.
know? And so to be somewhere where it's like, oh, that statue's been here for 500 years, like it has this different depth. And the people, I don't know if you experienced this in Ireland, but like the people there knew their history. They knew
Yes.
what happened there, why it was important. Like we were in the city that, World War II had turned around and the Allies started going back the other direction and like all this stuff. Like they knew what happened and were proud of it. And it was just so interesting to be in a place where I feel like in America, so much of the time people are like, what's history? Like, I don't know what happened here. I'm just living my life, And it was
Yeah.
just, it's different when you're in a place that has more depth than that.
Yeah, they have a source of pride about
Yeah.
their origins, and we had to start being selective because there's so much you can go see. And at one point we're like, okay, anything 1850 and beyond we'll skip because it's so new. We're
Yeah.
just gonna go to the older stuff. Where here we just dropped Ash off at Hanover College, and it's the oldest college in Indiana. It was founded in 1827, and that is old for
Yeah.
the United States. I mean, that is old. And it was just a funny realization, like, oh, you know, when we were in Ireland, this was
Yeah.
like almost in the newer category. And
Yeah.
here, this is like, whoa, this is old. So just a funny parallel of like,
Yeah.
huh.
It's so interesting. It's just, yeah,
Yeah.
a
Yeah.
different sense of place as soon as you cross the ocean, because it's just everything's been
It
so there
really
so much longer.
is. Yep.
Yeah.
And Cobh is where our heritage is from, and from that
Okay.
port is where they fished and where they lived and ultimately where they sailed off for America. And so that was very cool to be there. And it's like a fishing village, and rainy, not rainy, but misty. Like, you
Yeah.
needed your raincoat and you needed the hood on, but it wasn't raining, but you were damp. So it just kind of, it was a fun place to visit, and the the brogue was very strong. It was almost hard to understand people in Cobh, whereas other parts of Ireland, you
Tone
totally knew
down a
they're
bit.
speaking English. Yeah, I mean, you could figure it out, but in Cobh, we had to like, what? Say that again? What did I just order? Wait, what? Like, it was a little tricky. So that was interesting to see culturally, they just have a stronger accent. And then we
And
went
you
from.
came home with some of it too. It
Did
was
I?
so, yes, like immediately after the trip, it was so funny. You kept slipping in words like here and there that were very, like you were still immersed in it. And words that were like frequently said over and over, you were saying like you couldn't help yourself. It was so
Oh,
cute. It
like
was just like,
Thursday, 3:30 on Thursday. That was my favorite one.
and lovely, like you were saying.
Lovely. Lovely. Yes, lovely. Well, what's funny is they have these adjectives, they attach to nouns, and that's just what it is. So instead of saying ham, they say lovely ham. And they say that all throughout Ireland. It's just like a thing. You don't eat ham, you eat lovely ham. So it's you can't help but connect those two because you hear it everywhere all the time. So funny.
It was so cute to see you come back and still be like so in it. And yeah, I love that you got to experience like the accents and everything, and have like when I went to Russia, they're speaking a different language. I mean, there were little things like, oh, you learned to say thank you or whatever, but you're not really bringing that back too much. I think maybe the closest is like when I went to Arkansas and you're surrounded by like all these Southern accents, but like getting to go over there where they speak English, but just in a different way, that's just so fun.
Well, and when they say your name, they're like they said Dokket, the famous Dokket. And famous is an adjective they link to the last name Dokket. And that was so confusing. They kept calling us the famous Dokkets. And we're like, what? Why? Why are you saying we're famous? Like, what? Who is a famous Dokket that you're like, what? And ultimately, what we think we've determined is it's just a linked adjective to the name, and it doesn't mean famous like we think of it, like notoriety. It just means like I don't know what it means to them. I really never got to the bottom of it, but it's not anything of note or someone famous. It's just what they link with Dokket. So the famous Dokkets, that's where we were everywhere we went, to the point that when we stayed at the castle, they put us in the premier room, the room that,
So
I
you
mean, I'm
had to have
skipping
been
ahead.
famous somehow. There's some sort of something that people know. They're like, oh, give them the good stuff.
Yeah, but nobody could explain it to us. Like, what?
That's so funny.
Who is it? What do you mean? What have we done?
Yeah.
Who do you think we are?
It's like in America, like hearing, I don't know, oh, what is like a famous old family? Everybody's probably
Like
spitting out ideas.
Vanderbilt.
Yeah. Like, oh, Vanderbilt, give them the nice room. Like you're the famous Vanderbilt. See, you were the famous Ducket.
But nobody could answer us like, who is a famous Dukkha that you're
That's
facing
so
this? Like,
funny.
what is this? And my maiden name, Murphy, they say Morphy. And so it was funny to hear. It's almost like we've been saying it wrong our whole lives. Like, Murphy is Morphy.
That's so funny. Well, and it's just in this moment too, dawning on me that you have both the Ducketts and the Murphys. That are from Ireland. Like, I guess I hadn't registered that. I just kept thinking, like, on your parents' side of everything, but like Scott's family too. So, you were saying, like, okay, you're from this area and all that stuff. Like, is that stuff that's always been passed down with you that you knew that was where you were from? Or did, okay, so it wasn't like somebody in your family went on like an ancestry deep
Well,
dive.
Scott has on his side, but on my side, and ultimately his family comes from England, but there definitely are ducats in there's a ducat castle, so we know that there's heritage there, but I don't know if it's his direct lineage. But my family, we've always known, came from County Cork, and that was just my grandpa's grandparents, so it's in that recent of history. So that's always been clear. Where and the details of it, that's not something that I think any of us know or could dig out, but just standing on the dock and the pier area, knowing that like that many years ago, that we had ancestry, that was really cool. And then I mean, Murphy is a very common name, and in
Yeah.
Ireland, oh my gosh, it's common. So there's a crest, and there's a weave,
Wow.
a very specific weave, for the family that's in the Erin sweater mills and stuff. You can purchase it. You can buy the pattern. Like, it's specific to
Wow.
Murphy. So that was
That's
really
so
cool to
cool.
see. And
Like your
my
own
aunt.
tartan. Is that what it's
Yes.
called? Yeah.
Yes. All of
Yeah.
it. Yeah. So that was really cool to feel so small and to feel like, wow.
Yeah. I mean, and
This
that's
is.
pretty amazing because, like you're saying, your grandparents' grandparents were from there. I have that on both sides of my family, where I had grandparents who were from Poland and Czechoslovakia. And then on my mom's side, my grandpa's grandparents were from Ireland. Nobody has any clue where from or anything for either side. But my grandpa was a Collins, which is obviously another like very Irish name. But yeah, no idea where or what. We could be relatives.
We could. We our grand great 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 grandparents could have been friends. I mean, we
We
don't even know.
totally could have. No
They could
idea.
totally could have.
I need to go on an ancestry deep dive. We could really be, long lost cousins.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that, I would say, that is definitely one of the coolest parts about the trip, is to stand somewhere where you feel you're just in your put in your place in terms of like the heritage that goes before you, and you feel small. And to see my dad and his sister there too, to be with,
Yeah.
like, to just have those generations, that was a huge takeaway of like, this is such a privilege to be here and do this with them. And
Yeah.
just, it was really, really special. And everywhere, the first time you see in an Erin sweater shop, the weave, you're like, oh my gosh. And then you see it everywhere. Like, it's a
Yeah.
common thing. And the reason that they did that, I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but every fisherman's family had a specific weave to the sweater. It's all the same color wool. It's not dyed wool, so it's like an off-white, but the weave is different, because if the fisherman fell over in the water while he was fishing, when his body washed to the shore, you might not be able to recognize him, but the weave would tell you what family he was from. So it's
Interesting.
somewhat morbid,
Yeah.
but practical. And that was why. So it's just really interesting to be there and see. They have a very simple, practical way of life. There's nothing glamorous. And it's functional even now. Like, it's a little touristy town, but even the tourist stops, they're not, there's purpose and meaning behind everything. It's not like trinkety. It's not, I really enjoyed. I would spend more time there for sure. Like, I had a respect of the people, and it was just, that was a really cool place, but it was a departure. Nowhere else in Ireland felt quite like Cobh. And we spent a full day there, and then we went from there to Blarney, which is also in County Cork, and we stayed in a couple Airbnbs that were like these little attached cottages, three of them, so cute, each one a different color, and the courtyards attached, and we had
Cute.
all three, and that was really fun to stay in those. And that's the point at which we picked up the rental cars too. So my brother and my brother-in-law drove, and man, I was impressed that they could do it, because not only are you on the other side of the road, but everything is reversed in the car. So you're on the right side driving, and then you're on the left side of the road. And the streets, the roads are so narrow, and it's like you're
Yeah.
always in a tunnel of green, because there's so much foliage on the sides, and they just come by and they trim it right to the road's edge. So you literally feel like you're in a tunnel.
Oh,
And the
wow.
people drive very fast, and everything is windy and up and down, and they're just so used to it. But as you're acclimating, you want to go slowly. Like, you just are, but you're holding up a lot, because they don't
Yeah.
go slowly. They whiz around double-decker buses going down these narrow roads where you feel like, oh my gosh, we might not make it. and up and down. They had so many funny names for these hills too, like Hairpin, I can't, Clifty, like all of their little names. You're like, oh no, oh no, what's happening? Oh gosh. But that it was really cool. And my brother and my brother-in-law did an amazing job. They kept us alive. They did it. They did their job. They didn't complain. But we were all kind of like I would not have wanted to be a driver. It just that would have been terrifying. And
Yeah.
so they stepped up at the right time. And so from that point on, we were always in rental cars, like getting ourselves where we needed to go. In Dublin, we didn't have anything, didn't need it. Then we took a train, then we picked up the rental cars. So in Blarney, we went to the Blarney Castle, we kissed the Blarney Stone. Like we did all those traditional things, and that was super cool. And then we went to a couple manors and abbeys, mansions at the time, like in the 1800s. And then what was interesting is that they had, alongside all of these, I mean, tourism, like I said, is a huge part of their income. So they really do a good job of the preserved manors that you can walk through. It's an excellent representation from the clothing to the way that the homes are structured, the furniture, everything is like they've done a great job. And you can walk through, you can touch things, which
Oh,
I'm not used to being able to
interesting.
touch things.
Yeah.
And so it's all cool. But then in the little neighboring village, they have preserved homes as if like where the servants and the workers live. So you can go through
Oh,
that too. So
wow.
you can see at the same time frame, you know, what was going on with the wealth and then with more the working class. That was interesting. Ireland itself didn't get electricity till the 1950s. 50s.
That's
So
crazy.
isn't that crazy? So seeing those homes and like this is like within my parents' generation
Yeah.
that they looked like this, like with it was that was just crazy to see all of it and how they
Wow.
lived. And yeah, so you really got a feel for Ireland and for the history of Ireland. Everywhere you went, you just learned so much. It was almost like a brain overload. And I felt like different points of time, especially the ones that in the moment you're overwhelmed with the meaning of it. Some of it, you know, it has to like distill and then you're like, oh my gosh, that was so cool. But some of it in the moment, you know, like I am overwhelmed. That happened at the St. Patrick's Cathedral when I saw the actual original score of Handel's Messiah glass, and it was the very first place that the Hallelujah chorus was played. And very little has changed in that cathedral since that time. And my feet are standing there, my eyes are looking at the score in my ear. I'm playing the Hallelujah chorus, looking around. I literally had to shut my eyes. I had to turn a sense off. It was too much. I was overloaded. I couldn't contain all the feelings inside. It
Wow.
was too much. So that would happen periodically where I'm like, I can't even fully take this in.
Yeah.
It's so much. I can't believe I'm here. I can't believe I'm seeing this, hearing this, tasting this, looking at this. Like it's too much. And then you'd go from that to another event of the same caliber an hour later. Like it just was an overload in a
Yeah.
lot of ways, but so special. So I plan on like working through a lot of that, processing a lot of that through my pictures. I took pictures and pictures and pictures. And like when we saw the Book of Kells that's housed in the Trinity University, I mean, that alone is
What is that?
it's a the Book of Kells is like the monk's original manuscript of the Bible,
Oh, okay.
and it's like they have one man has given his life to a chapter, and he has it is so beautifully scripted, and you know they didn't have ink, they didn't have paper, so the way they even had to create a red or a yellow, like the lengths that they went to create the specific colors that they needed to do, I mean, every bit of it was so much labor and so much work, and it's overwhelmingly beautiful. And the original copies are stored there, and you just go through. It's over, and it's a Celtic gospel. It's in Latin. It has the four gospels. And it's in a, it's a, they call it an illuminated manuscript. And
Hmm.
so it is, it's stunning. It's
Wow.
absolutely stunning. It's supposed to date back to the 800 AD. It's the oldest book in the world. And it was sustained and kept safe through the Viking raids and how these little Scottish monks kept it safe. I mean, who even knows? But so many died in the process just to preserve it. I mean, it's
Wow.
literally overwhelming that you're looking
Yeah.
at it. You're staring at it. It's right there before you. Like, it just so cool. So cool. So, I mean, all of these moments just added up to, frankly, just overwhelm a lot.
Yeah.
We would get to dinner and, like, it's hard to even make, like, how do you even put into words what we all just experienced and saw? And so you just order dinner, you know, and you can't even get into it. Like, you just kind of move forward. There's just so much to unpack about
Wow.
this. It's just, it's incredible. So we went from Blarney, then we went to Galway. Galway is on the opposite side of the coast from Dublin. It's like kitty corner. Dublin is northeast and Galway is southwest. So Galway has the similar feel to Dublin where it's young and it's, they have these, what are they called? Ed Sheeran was one of them, Busters. They sit
Oh, yeah.
outside, you know what I'm talking about, and
Yeah.
they play. But it's not like we see here where sometimes it's people who are just looking for like money in their like their guitar bag or something that you're, they are exceptionally talented. Busker, that's what it's called,
Yeah,
busker.
yeah.
And they're everywhere. And so you can't believe the music you're hearing from block to block to block. Very cool. And there's these roads that are cobblestone and they're, cars do go through it. So I don't want to say they're closed to traffic, but it's not very often you see a car, but then everybody has to scurry to the side. But they have like twinkly lights strung all the way across and then like flags. Like it's, oh my gosh, it was stunning. It was just so aesthetically like cool and beautiful. And the fashion, the things people are wearing, they're just walking down and you've got these people playing this incredible music and it, whoa, it was a feast. It was just so much fun. We spent a lot of time. Okay, so it's called Key Street. That's how you say it is key, but it's spelled Q-U-A-Y. And so of course we said that wrong several times until we
Yeah.
realized, oh my gosh, it's not Quay. It's key. People are
That's
laughing
funny.
at us. We can't
That's
say it
funny.
like that.
Yeah. Fix it now.
Yeah, say it right. But we had some amazing experiences as a family there. Like we stumbled upon this these three guys that were in a band. It was the grandpa, the dad, and then the son. And they looked Irish. Like they looked so Irish. It was just, it was cool. But they really sang a lot of American music. All through Ireland, they sing mainly American music, which is weird.
Interesting.
And we didn't really want that. We're like,
Yeah.
oh, what?
Yeah.
But they really do. It's just a part, like brown-eyed
American
girl.
and oh, okay. I was gonna ask if it was American and British music, but it was mostly
No,
American.
it's
Okay.
American. Like it's surprising. Yeah. So they, their final song of the night, these three guys, we just loved them. They played Country Roads. And my family, we lived in West Virginia for 17 years. I went to West Virginia University for a little while. That song has significance. And we were all overwhelmed that they played that as their final song. And the whole bar sang, or the pub, they all sang, like everybody knows that song. Turns out it's like the closer in every set. Who knew? But
So funny.
it was really special to get to hear it together and
Yeah. And in
sing
Ireland,
along
of
and
all
enjoy it.
places.
You would not think, but turns out it's very common.
So funny. Well, and speaking of Galway and Ed Sheeran, you know he has a song called Galway Girl.
Of course,
Yeah.
of course. And in the song, because we listened to it even while we were there, but he mentioned streets and we know those streets. Like we walked through
Yeah.
those, we walked by those streets. So it was just, that was really fun.
That's so
Although
fun.
he's English,
Yeah.
and we made that mistake too, asking somebody, because
Oh
he was a busker in Galway, and my brother he asked somebody like, where was it that he stood? And she's like, I don't know. He's English. Like, go away. We don't care. He's not a big deal to us.
That's
We were
so
like,
funny.
oh, okay. So they
Yeah,
don't
you've got
care
that
that he's
wrong.
overweight. Yeah, we got that really wrong.
That's so funny. Oh my
Yeah.
goodness.
So we went from Galway to what was probably one of my very favorite things, which was the Kylamore Abbey. I could just go on and on. I won't, but I will put that in my Instagram at some time if anybody wants to know more or see the pictures. Like it was so moving. The history of it, the reason that it was built in the late 1700s was for it was a romantic gesture and a very just a great love story. She died at 45. He couldn't really recover. Ended up selling it. The Guinness family is so huge. Their fingers are in every pot of Ireland. They're very generous, and they really believed in building up the Irish people, and very, very neat family. Just cool. But Guinness family bought it, and then it ended up going to these Benedictine monks in the late 1800s, and it became a school for girls. And during wartime in Ireland, it was just so interesting how the nuns survived, and that the abbey itself survived, and just wonderful history and story. And I just loved, I loved being there. It's unbelievably beautiful. Like you just, and it's surrounded by the Connemara Park, the state park, which is thousands and thousands of acres. And it's like you're driving down the street and there's little sheep with their tiny little black legs walking across the road. And on the left are the mountains and the ocean, the Irish Sea is there. Like it's all of it kind of packaged up into one of what in my head Ireland would be like. It's right there. So it's stunning. So we went from there to the castle, and we finished our trip at the castle. We were there for 2 nights, 3 days. It was as life-changing as living in a castle for a couple of days can be. I felt like I was in Downton Abbey. They treated us like we were royalty. It was unreal.
Well, you are a famous ducat.
I am a famous
So,
ducat,
you know.
it turns out, and they put us in the room that queens have stayed in, that Ronald Reagan stayed in, Brad Pitt, Robin Williams, Rory McIlmore, like just what are we doing in this room?
That's
And
incredible.
it had two bathrooms. Like I just can't even believe I cried twice, wept. I should say wept. It wasn't crying, but one of the times was when we left that room when the door closed and I heard it click. I couldn't
No.
help it. I was like, oh. It's over. Never in my life will I do this again. And it was so special. So that was unreal. It was unreal. It was magic.
Well, and they had all like the little things there. Like you had to change for dinner, right?
You mean our formal dinner?
Yeah, like there were all those kinds of protocols
Oh,
involved with
yes.
being at the castle.
Yes, formal dinner, cocktail attire, dinner jacket for the men, that kind of thing. And the turndown service was there was a pillow menu. Like you could order the pillow that you needed and wanted. You would come back in, and it was literally like fairies had been there. No matter what mess you left behind in your hurry to leave, it was organized. And they would put like a washcloth down and then put your things back on it in an orderly way. So it's still all there, but suddenly it looks, oh. Like elevated. Oh, okay.
That's
Was
incredible.
just amazing. And up to the our we had a second floor, and that was the entire floor was the bathroom. And bathroom of my dreams. It was amazing. But the turndown service, they would turn on the heated floor, and then they put I probably 50 tea lights and little glasses that were all lit, so it was just sparkling. I spun around. I was just like, oh my gosh, this is amazing.
Well, and they had a candle scent there that also was like your favorite thing.
Yes, and probably everybody who listens to us talk knows, like, I scent is such a big thing to me. It's how I signify changes in seasons and changes, momentous events. And so I don't know how they're piping this scent through the castle, but it was like it just smelled so good. And I kept trying to figure it out. Like, is it coming through the vents? Is it, I smell it strongly over here. I looked behind things like, subtly, but I was looking for what, how are they doing this? And I asked a couple of people who didn't seem to know like what I was talking about. And then I finally found a girl who worked there, and I said, I just want to know what the scent is. I need to know what the like the notes are. And she said, oh, I know what you're talking about. That's our signature scent. And it's created from a company called Rathbone that's out of Dublin. And it's the oldest fragrance manufacturer in the world. And they do like custom fragrances for all the big hotels, including like New York and all over the world. They are the ones
Wow.
who do this. And the Ashbourne Castle fragrance, you can't buy it, you can't replicate it. It's only for the castle. But they have a candle that's called Ashbourne Castle that's very close. And she told me where I could buy it. I immediately went. It was £50. It's a very
Yeah.
small candle. I was like, yep, this is happening. I'm buying this. I'm taking this home. Or 50 year, what did I say? Pounds? It's not
Yeah.
pounds, it's euros. It's 50
Okay.
euros. And it's like it's a treasure, and it does smell like it's very, very, very close. But there
Yeah.
is something, there's a note missing. I don't know what it is, but so the fragrance there alone was, it just stopped me in my tracks. Like, because for me, it alerts another sense. Like, it brings another of your five senses into play, and then I'm more in the moment. I'm more present.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, and I think some people, that's not the thing that gets them. But for
Yeah,
me,
but I
scent is
think
a
that
really big
like
one.
a lot of people, it's not what gets them, but it's like it's one of those things they may not be paying attention to, but I think any of us have had that experience where you smell something and it immediately takes you back somewhere.
Yes.
I mean, it's like
Yes.
even recently the Gap came out with like new versions of all the
Of
colognes
the
and perfume that they had in
yes.
the 90s, and
Yes.
just smelling like grass, it was like, oh my gosh, I'm in middle school
Yes.
again. Like, it will just, there's something about scent that really does transport you immediately to another time and place. And so I think even if you're not somebody who's like intentionally paying attention to it and curating it, we do have that innate sense. It's just like you capitalize on it.
Oh, it's probably like my number one. I mean, I
Yeah.
think it's huge to me. So being able to bring it home and knowing that I can light that candle for special occasions and be transported back, that was key. And then I got home and I could not light it. I was like, I will never light this. And Scott said, I will get you one every Christmas. Light the candle. Enjoy
Yeah.
it all year long. I will get you one every Christmas. It's like, okay.
Enjoy
Okay.
it for 5 minutes here and there all year long,
Yes.
and I'll buy you a new one.
Yeah.
So funny. So where are you keeping this precious candle? Where is it at?
It's on a shelf in my living room because not the bottle, but the vessel is beautiful. It's like a deep, deep green, which is the color of Ireland.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although, spoiler alert, they don't wear green. And if you wear green, boy, did they know you're in charge.
Gosh, that's so funny.
I had that hilarious conversation with these like 17 and 18 year old boys who were, we were on this boat and they worked downstairs and they were like behind the bar, which you can do.
Yeah.
And I had my green raincoat on and I said, is it a real power move to be a tourist and wear green in Ireland? And they cracked up. They're like, we don't wear green. We don't. Like, yeah, I kind of picked up on that. Like, all of us have pieces of green at all times. You just know they're tourists because
Oh,
they
that's
do not
so
wear
funny.
green for that reason. So that was funny. But anyway, it's a deep, deep green, like an emeraldy green with this gold, elaborate, intricate writing that says Rathbone Ashford Castle. It's beautiful. So it's on a shelf in my living room, but As we've had company throughout July and early August, and like I will light it when we have coffee, and especially people who were there. Like, I don't give them the whole spiel. And then after about 10 minutes, we're all like, oh.
Oh, and then you're like,
That.
all right, you've all gotten your scent. It's now getting blown
I gotta blow it
out.
out.
Yeah. We had the moment and we're done.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's so funny. So did you come home with anything else? Like you got the
Oh, we came
candle.
home with so much. We came home with a lot. We had an extra duffel bag that we packed that we knew we would fill with like treasures and stuff. And we did. In fact, because you're picking up stuff as you go,
Yeah.
way more for my kids than I would have probably done. Like we went overboard because I forgot. I got them this. Oh, I got them this into. Oh, I picked this up. Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
This is a lot. So t-shirts and I mean just kind of random things, but yeah, we came home with a lot of chocolate because again, the dairy is so good that their chocolate is so good.
Yeah, who would have thought? You always think like Belgium and France and
Oh
Switzerland and
my.
like, but
Yeah.
Irish chocolate, who would know?
Irish chocolate. Yeah, we got a lot at the Guinness Brewery. Scott has always loved Guinness, and so it was cool to come home with like pint glasses that are from the Dublin Brewery, the Jameson Distillery. We got some stuff too, and I mean everywhere we went, we're picking stuff up, and we went to a lot of places. I came home with four mugs for
Oh,
myself, and
wow.
I kind of thought I had one or two, and I forced four.
That's funny.
Yeah. I
You,
came home
you.
with some prints, some artwork.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and one of my very favorite, I don't think I even told you about this. Well, it kind of is a funny story too. But when we were in Doolin, which was our final night before we flew out of the Shannon Airport, and Doolin is near the Cliffs of Moher, which I didn't even talk about the Cliffs of Moher. That was wow. I've never seen landscape that's that breathtaking. I mean,
Wow.
wow. Yeah, it's gorgeous. But Doolin is the little city near Cliffs of Moher. And it was in, they call it craft shop, but it's like we would call it gift shop. Which really threw us off at first. We're like, crafts? We're not into crafts. We're like, oh, that's the gift shop. Gotcha. So really neat knitted wool, like it's not a scarf because it's not for warmth, but it has a frilly edge and it has a button in the front and it's thin, so it's not thick like a scarf either. It's thin, and then it where the button goes, that's actually the center of the flower, and so it's this little light gray flower neck, like I guess it's closer to a necklace scarf combo, if that makes any
Interesting.
sense. Very unique, and I saw it and I was like, oh my gosh, I have to try it on. And it was on a model and it was the only one. And so I asked the lady and she's like, oh, yes. And she went and took it off and she put it on me. And she said, this is very unique. It's designed by an Irish designer and it's knit right here in Doolin and like extremely unique. And I was like, done. Like, I have to have this. And so I bought it. And then we stopped at a gift shop at the Cliffs of Moher, which is not too far away, but I saw the same one there. And I was like, is it really as unique as I thought it was? Or
That's
is
so
that a whole
funny.
story? I don't know. But everybody laughed pretty hard. They're like, oh my God.
That's hilarious. Like, oh, this is in every gift shop down the coastline of Ireland. They bring, as soon as you walked out, she got one from under the counter and put it back on a mannequin.
I know, so I might have been taken, but on the tag it does say made in Ireland. It works for me, but it was very funny to think, oh, it's not just unique to Doolin.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
That's hilarious. Oh, I love
It
that.
Yeah.
That's a tourist thing, though. They're gonna get you. They know how to work
Yes.
it.
They do. And I was a willing participant in that, and I have no regrets. I mean, I'm glad to have it. It's what it is. It's fine, but it was
That's
funny.
so funny. I love it, though. Oh, well, this was so fun to recount all your adventures and hear about everything. I'm so glad we got to do a catch up about it.
Me too. It's fun to get to talk about it. I can't believe it's past tense. Like it's been 2 years,
Yeah.
like in the making. So it's crazy to think it's over. It happened.
Yeah.
And even the next day after we got back and Scott and I were having coffee, we were just like, did it happen? Like, did it
Yeah.
happen? Because now we're back in our regular life.
Yeah.
And we were just yesterday, like yesterday morning, we were in Ireland and now we're in Indiana. Like, what?
But you're a changed woman. Like, it's an experience that has
Oh,
shaped
yeah.
the rest of your life.
I think so. I don't think you can stay in a castle and be the same person after. You just can't. You can't. It's impossible.
Like, come home and you're telling your kids, I will now need turn down service
Yes.
and you'll need to
I'm a
light my
famous
candles
focus.
for me. Yes.
Yes. And I did bring everything to make a turndown service for June, and that
Yes.
has stuck. Like, she loves a good turndown service.
That's so
And as
funny.
long as she's made her bed, you know, it's, I'll
Yeah.
happily put her in a room. And one thing that they do is they played this, it's called Relaxing Bird Song. You can find it like Spotify, but they, the whole turndown service, you know, the lights go down, the curtains go down, the bed is turned down, champagne on the table. I don't do that, but water, lip balm, your slippers are out. Like everything is just ready for you to crawl into bed. And then very gently in the background is this relaxing bird song. And Scott and I just fell in love with it. Like it was so relaxing, just the sound of birds. And
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily done that on my own, but that's a takeaway.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. So fun. So fun.
Amazing.
Well, we should probably wrap up this episode, although I'm sure there's a thousand more stories that you could tell, but it was so fun to get to catch up, and you're coming back on the podcast very soon, too.
I am.
All right. Well, I will talk to you next time.
Okay.
Okay. All right, ladies, that is it for this week's episode. As always, you can go to mackenziekappa.com/podcast to be able to find the links to all the things that we talked about in this episode and any other episode that you might be interested in, including the Holistic Planning Bootcamp that is happening next week. You guys, I would love to see you there. I think it's going to be so good. The more ladies that we get in there working together, being in community, figuring out all the different pieces of our lives, I think the more effective it will be. You can sign up for just $27. So head over to mackenziekappa.com/planningbootcamp and you can get in there today, be all ready to go for next Tuesday when we kick things off. All right, ladies, that is it for not only this episode, but also season 9. So I will see you back here again next week for the kickoff to season 10, where Katie and I are going to talk about some favorites and some fun things. It's a really great episode. I can't wait for you to join me. And until then, go be bold and gracious.